Good afternoon, everybody. As you heard, my name is Chris Kay, and I'm a trooper with the New Jersey State Police. And this is Elizabeth. Elizabeth's my oldest. She's a sophomore in high school. And like most parents, I'm pretty proud of her, right? She does extremely well in school. Right? She gets good grades. She's got good friends. And believe it or not, she's even started helping out around the house without being asked, right? That's definitely a sign of maturity. Right, sure. We'll see how long that lasts. Like many kids her age, she's just not sure what she wants to do with the rest of her life. And that's kind of understandable. It can range anywhere from, I think I want to bake cookies and sell them online, to, no, you know what, I want to be a veterinarian for horses. All right, great. She's kind of all over the map. And today, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about innovative opportunities. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how that sort of affected me, what type of innovative opportunities we're creating in the place where I work, and I'm going to leave you with a challenge. But let's get back to Elizabeth. So in January, an innovative opportunity presented itself to attend an informational night about a new program that's being started in cooperation with our county's VOTEC, or the Mars County School of Technology and County College of Mars. So I said, hey Elizabeth, would you like to maybe just come along with me? We're fortunate, this thing is pretty close, about 15 minutes from our house. Just let's go check this out. So, somewhat reluctantly she did, and I was even skeptical of her interest, quite honestly, because she's not a gamer, she's not a hacker, and heck, you're probably gonna laugh, she doesn't even have a cell phone. Right, yeah, I know. And that's cruelty, right, these days. We'll talk about that later. Right, so my skepticism was kind of further confirmed because just as the program was about to kick off, she leans over, Daddy, I'm the only girl here, right? And so disconcerting certainly for her, but let's think about that, probably more so for me, no? Right, as her father. So anyhow, we go through the night, left there very impressed, but I still didn't really sense that it stirred anything in Elizabeth. So fast forward 1 month later to February of this year. You guys recognize this, right? Does pretty much everybody recognize this? Girls Go CyberStar. Yeah, check, right? All right, for those of you that are not familiar, Girls Go CyberStar was an online competition that was ran in February that was produced by the SANS Institute, a leader in information security training and certification and so forth, because they sort of recognized, just as was pointed out this morning, some disproportionate numbers in the cybersecurity field. So they took some of the core disciplines involved with cybersecurity to include encryption, stenography, programming, and so forth, and they gamified it. I didn't realize that was a word, but it is, and they gamified it. They made it fun and engaging and eligible for high school girls to play. So Elizabeth signs up again, just at my request, to just check this out. She goes through it. She wasn't any of the high performers that some of you represent here, some of your students, but she came back to me about a week later and said, hey Daddy, I think I want to apply for that college program. Again, the combination of these two innovative opportunities are now going to allow my daughter to explore a career path she quite honestly didn't even realize she'd have an interest in, right? And she now has the opportunity to explore her potential, and quite honestly, you know what, if she doesn't go further with it, that's fine, it's okay. You know, she's going to get a nice background at this county college, in programming and operating systems and networking, and she can even take classes, electives in digital forensics and ethical hacking. So yeah, awesome job, all put together by people just like you, people who are committed and passionate about providing opportunities. So let me forward and I'll talk a little bit about where I work. So I work for the New Jersey Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Cell. That's where I'm assigned. And basically, we exist for two main reasons. Because the protection of New Jersey's governmental information assets is very, very important. And the protection of New Jersey citizens and organizations is of equally high priority to us. And I have the privilege to work with some very smart, passionate, and purposeful people who just happen to be in cybersecurity. And I'm not saying that only because the husband of one of those people, the wife of one of those people is in this audience. And there you are, your husband's a total rock star. We're really happy to have him with us, right? Now, simply put, our mission is to help New Jerseyans, both as individuals and as organizations, to increase their digital resiliency. You see, because we understand that the types of attacks against our networks, against our systems, against our data. They're not going away. They really aren't. I mean, law enforcement has many challenges in addressing this issue. I mean, there's some great work being done at the federal level. Some of our partners are here in the room tonight, this afternoon. But it's just difficult. So we see education and awareness as the armor to help against these persistent threats. So the NJ Kick, here's our public website. A lot of the information that we produce is posted up here. When we got started 3 years ago, this past Tuesday, as a matter of fact, we just had our 3-year birthday. When we first got started, we really wanted to make sure that this information was accessible, that it wasn't classified, that we could reach the most amount of people to protect the most amount of people. We do have kind of a membership component to it. It's free, no obligation, right? But by signing up for membership, it allows you access to some of the information that's not for public posting. Whether they be intelligence products from our partners in the FBI, or the Secret Service, or DHS, or maybe intelligence products that are directly related to your particular field, whether K-12 education, or IT, or whatever, we can email those directly to your inbox. So we have a lot of benefits to membership. Also, connecting with the NJ Kick puts you in touch with a much larger security ecosystem. And one example of how we've kind of served the K-12 community is in connect with a relationship with an organization called the Multi-State Information Sharing Analysis Center. They let us know when other organizations identify publicly posted email addresses and plain text passwords that are associated with them. They'll forward that to us, we'll scrub that for New Jersey-centric domains, reach out to the email admins in order for them to communicate internally with those potential people. And what happens here? Like, basically, we have teachers that will maybe sign up with a vendor, you know, their email address, their work email address and password. That vendor site doesn't have the greatest security, so it gets compromised, the data gets exfiltrated, and then it gets posted publicly. And you guys know just as well as I do, humans, being a little bit on the lazier side, oftentimes use the same email address and password for multiple accounts, right? That's just common. As a matter of fact, there are hacking tools that are very easily available. We plug those two elements in, and they'll just run it against financial institutions or online shopping things or Macy's or JCPenney's.com or whatever. It's all pre-configured. It's very easy to do. So we want to make sure that when this information is posted online, that we can kind of, you know, provide a service to, again, as in this example, to the K-12 education community. Another thing that we're very focused on, this remote tech stack protocol as a vulnerability that's being exploited. And just as recently as yesterday, you know, I was kind of involved in assisting an organization, a public sector organization here in New Jersey, recover from a devastating kind of attack that really deleted a lot of applications and data critical to their business function. And so we go out and we provide best practices, presentations, and we oftentimes are able to kind of highlight the importance of this through some horror stories that we've had reported into us, and try to emphasize why hey, this could be potentially, it's got a business function, but it really needs to be configured correctly. Same thing with WannaCry, which I think happened a year and a week ago, 150 countries affected, $8+ billion of damages done. And the funny thing is, you know, you would think that like we have some kind of magic information. No, a lot of these are just known vulnerabilities, right? They're just known exploitations with security patches that are already published. But our job is to turn up the volume on what some of you who administer networks are already saying, to kind of amplify that message that, hey, the information that you have is important, and the information that you need to protect. Did you have a question? Yeah, so basically, I think this is, this chart, this graphic was created using Shodan. Many of you are familiar with Shodan. It's a sort of a tool that's publicly available that allows you to sort of search the internet for various operating systems and whatnot. And then use, I think, Tableau to kind of punch this in by zip codes according to the geodata that was produced in Shodan. And it helps give us an idea of kind of some ranges of what RDPs are exposed, what where are these organizations that have this important service exposed openly to the internet? Okay, so that's the membership thing. Okay, membership also gets you a weekly bulletin. It comes in your inbox on Thursday afternoons. It's kind of a wrap-up of what we think is important for the week, things you want to pay attention to. We have analysts that 24/7 are kind of taking in intelligence from a number of different sources. They have collection kind of processes set up. They filter through that and they kind of highlight what's really important. Threat indicator sharing. We have an automated threat indicator sharing for those of you that are familiar with the programs like that. Blogs, you know, a little bit more informal about events that are happening. Threat profiles. The homepage, again, has a lot of information about Trojans, about botnets, about mobile malware, about ransomware, all collected for you to access in one easy spot. And of course, the presentations, you know, similar to what I'm doing here today. Also, you know, we have one that's pretty popular for law enforcement where we kind of let those folks know about the dark web environment, about cryptocurrency and how it kind of may start weaving its way into their physical investigations. Best practices, we've been called to speak to school districts on their in-service training days to the teachers and staff about the importance of security as it relates to cyber. So we're always going out and doing things like that, again, in order to sort of elevate New Jersey's security posture. Here's a copy of the Weekly Bulletin. Garden State Highlights is kind of pulls from information that gets reported into us. There are training announcements, data breach notifications. Have you eaten at Chili's recently, or Taco Bell? You know, if there's a notification that they've had a point of sale, they've discovered point of sale malware, or credit card information, it's kind of a heads up that you might be getting an email or rather a letter from those organizations. Social engineering scams, and then kind of we roll the patch list. It's a quick 10-minute read, and you can kind of scroll through, pick whatever you think is most interesting to you, and then there's some links to go down those rabbit holes if you want more information. Now let me talk about some innovative opportunities that we're trying to create through our internship program. So my boss is Director Mike Garrity, who director of the NJKIC, but also New Jersey's Chief Information Security Officer. Super smart guy. The state of New Jersey is really fortunate to have him. Started his career as a trooper of the state police, left after 12 years, went into the private sector. So he comes back to the state for public service with a wealth of knowledge on both sides of the aisle. But anyhow, he kind of recognized that, hey, listen, cybersecurity is definitely an emerging field. There are a lot of companies out there that are vying for the talent that's being produced by our schools. How are we able to compete, and how are we able to kind of plug into this workforce? Well, we have an internship program for juniors and seniors, all right? Now, you would need to apply to the internship program through our parent organization, which is New Jersey's Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Is that a little break for not prepared? So, New Jersey's Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness has a homepage, right? There's a careers internships tab, click there. We're closed for the summer, but we're accepting applications, I think, for the fall, starting shortly. If you're successfully interviewed and you can kind of come in, you get the chance to plug into any one of our four bureaus, right? And sort of get some real-world practical application in enterprise network cybersecurity. Our governance, risk, and compliance folks are responsible for assessing New Jersey's agencies and departments for their cybersecurity posture, and then help to give them kind of logical steps to improve that. Our security engineering and cyber operations group, those are a little bit more of the computer science technical folks. They're the ones that are kind of monitoring our firewalls, our SIM, they're tracking down sort of campaigns, because we're ultimately responsible for what's called the Garden State Network, and it's how those agencies and departments in New Jersey communicate with each other. So folks that are responsible for protecting and monitoring that are on our SecOps Bureau. We have our Cyber Threat Intelligence and Analysis Bureau, which combine technical information with maybe some non-technical information. They're kind of always combing industry cybersecurity reports. They're following hackers on Twitter. Anywhere they can get information about new exploitations and vulnerabilities, they're taking that information, again, filtering it to make sure they identify what has the most criticality, and then writing to it in a way that people understand the problem. Can't be too technical, and that also, not just the problem, but also the solutions, and providing mitigation strategies for that. And partnership is kind of where what I do. We're responsible for taking the valuable information that's produced by the NJKIC and getting into the hands of people that value it. So those of you that are in academics, those of you that are busy managing IT for small, medium-sized, large businesses, we know that your schedules are cram-packed with tons and tons of demands on your time. So like something like the Weekly Bulletin, which is written by the analysts and kind of distributed by partnerships, is going to be helpful to you to kind of help you understand the threat environment as that changes and evolves.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
When you talk about the internship, is that junior, seniors, high school, or college?
Sorry, junior, seniors in college. Yeah, junior, seniors in college. So the director would like to explore opportunities for internships, but here's the thing, like, would you come down to West Trenton where we work for, you know what I mean, like, you gotta get a ride from your parents, it's kind of a little bit, like, logistically there's some complications there, but you know what, honestly, we do tours all the time, we have groups that come into the NJ Cape, we're located at the State's Fusion Center in West Trenton, so you can get an understanding of what we do, from a cybersecurity perspective, you can also kind of get a tour of the Fusion Center to understand how the state police works with its other, you know, local, county, and federal partners to address, you know, threat, crime, and other hazards. So we're more than happy to kind of connect if you think that would be beneficial for your students. And we can also bring in, you know, some of our detectives with some experience in the cyber crimes unit. We have what's called the Digital Technology Investigation Unit in State Police. They pursue the kind of like the child exploitation stuff. And then our Regional Computer Forensics Lab. We have detectives that are assigned to the FBI's Regional Computer Forensics Lab, so they can talk a little bit about what they do. Again, just, you know, for career interests, purposes. All right, so those are just some of the opportunities that we kind of have and we try to create. Let's circle back here to this video. I came across this maybe like 2 weeks ago. I don't know if any of you seen it, but I thought it just captivated me for a little while, right? Because I don't know much about this kid. I tried to do some research on him, you know, find out where he lived and what his name was. But I just watched like him working with these, you know, recycled things, these syringes, like probably hydraulics or something like that, like the water in there, some of these, you know, trash parts. I think, man, you know, it makes me appreciate how lucky I am that I live here in New Jersey, surrounded by a lot of very smart, passionate, purposeful people like yourselves who are creating innovative opportunities that my daughter is able to capitalize off of. And it kind of bums me out that I can't maybe do something for this kid. But, you know, listen, really, you know, realistically, I'm probably not going to be able to. But then it makes me think, well, what about the kids like this here in New Jersey, right? Like, what kids out there are we potentially missing, you know, that have this type of ingenuity and this type of, you know, I mean, he inspires me, and based on all the bare feet that are around, I mean, it looks like he's inspiring his little buddies there too, right? Like, I want you guys to be inspired. I think you guys, you know, do some great work. And I want you to feel kind of invigorated that and know that there are people out there that think the things that you do are important and they're meaningful. And you know, I just want you to understand that you guys are the solution. I'm really looking forward, I'm challenging you to create innovative opportunities for kids in the future. Is that it? All right. Any questions about the NJ Kid or anything else? Sir.
I'm curious if you're doing anything you're doing about the upcoming elections.
Okay, yes. Okay, so upcoming elections. So that not only has been on our radar for, well, now, you know, back into the general election, where certain issues were raised and concerns were raised to the media. The New Jersey government has taken it upon itself to make sure that we have, we're definitely plugged into DHS, who is now, I think, designated officially elections as a critical infrastructure sector. I'm not sure it might be, but certainly the federal government takes that seriously, and we're right partnered up with them in understanding the election systems here, how they're here in New Jersey, how they're maybe different than some of the election systems that supposedly were maybe compromised or whatever around the country, and then making sure that we're working closely with New Jersey's Division of Elections to secure the voter information and the voting system. That's a core component of our democracy, and we absolutely cannot have the integrity of that compromised. So my boss, again, Director Mike Garrity, oftentimes meets with the Secretary of State, the Commissioner for the Division of Elections, and they're on top of that. I can assure you that. Anything else? All right, everybody. Hey, thank you very much for your time.